Because I actually want to review a video, I have not seen it at all, about what she was talking about as far as Tyler Perry. And I don't think we're going to review the whole video, but I do want to get into that. I want to get into gentrification, because gentrification is now hitting everywhere. It ain't even so much that you aging out anymore. It's also the fact that you can't even afford to live in the places that you thought was affordable. And the place that you thought that was going to be your forever home now is changing. The landscape is completely changing. But they followed this woman that decided to hold out over in North Nashville, where the complete landscape is changing. And it's funny because I remember when everybody was moving over to Nashville. I remember when everybody was moving over to Nashville, especially during the pandemic. I've always thought that Nashville was a beautiful place. It was the one of the best hotels, the Gaylord Opryland, that I've ever stayed in my entire life, right? One of the best hotels that I've ever stayed in my entire life. They got one of the best malls, the best downtowns. I remember all of the bars in downtown. A lot of them down one specific stretch of the street, they were interconnected, meaning that you can go into the back and go through in the back of the bar and then be into the next part. They're all interconnected from the inside and not just from the outside. Then I think you got Vanderbilt out there. It's a great landscape. But Nashville has largely started to become unaffordable. And I know some people that live in Nashville and they're like, yo, my home prices is exploding, but I can't sell. I said, okay, well, why you can't sell? Well, because if I sell, I'll make a lot of money, but then I got to mortgage another place, and then I got to find somewhere else to live, and then I'm going to have to get into this housing market, and the interest rates is high, and so you stuck between a rock and a hard place, and your net worth don't even mean anything because you don't have the funds and the resources to be able to get out and do anything that's more productive. But let me jump into the story, and I'm going to share this with you guys really quickly.
City the size of Nashville, there is no shortage of new construction and homeowners dealing with new neighbors and changes to their neighborhood that are out of their control.
I want somebody to just respect me. Take me serious and just give me a little respect. If you want to use something, man, ask me. Don't take it.
Marcia Jordan has lived in the same two-block radius her entire life. The North Nashville resident is the last one in an original home on Ireland Street. Marcia reached out to us concerned that part of a new home right next door was actually built on her property. News Channel 5's Hannah McDonald has been digging into her case. Hannah and photojournalist Catherine Stewart show us it truly is a case study of urban gentrification.
Present-day Ireland Street is worlds away from the Ireland Street where Marcia Jordan,
you knew your neighbors,
put down roots.
It has changed tremendously. You could sit on the porch, drink coffee, and talk to your neighbors. Now I don't know my neighbors because they change each week.
For three decades, Marcia has had a front row seat to change. The gentrification has driven every neighbor elsewhere. Except her.
Probably about 2 years ago, that neighbor left and she sold to Rise Development. She left last week. She said she couldn't take it. She sold and she left.
Marcia's home sits in between eight new builds. There used to be just one home on either side.
They want to give you maybe $400,000 and they build four and they sell them each for $850,000.
Well, guess what, ma'am? You don't get to determine the price that they selling theirs for. And that's one of the problems with people a lot of times. One of the problems with people is that they count in everybody else's pockets. Now, I understand her plight. I understand that she want to stay there for a long time. But listen, you can't determine what it is that I'm selling it for in order to determine the price that you want to sell it to me for. Or you could just stay right there where you at. You know, I remember when they built Little Caesars Arena. And right on, is it Cass? It's Cass. Okay, I see you, Rita Ree. You all right? And I remember when they were building Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Because downtown Detroit has changed dramatically. Which is one of the reasons why I'm moving back into the city. I'm very, very glad to be moving back into the city. And I never left Michigan. I love my city. I absolutely love what's happening. But, you know, they were buying up a lot of the different property in order to build this and then build the parking structures and everything around it and everything like that. And this one structure held out. And it was basically like, yo, you know, I guess it was on some You're going to pay us over $2 million for this little rinky. And it was like a little dilapidated house where nobody was living there no more or whatever. And so basically what they did was they just built around it. They built a little square around it, around where their property is, and they built the parking lot and everything like that. And they got greedy. They got greedy. And so I guess the Illich companies never, they never bought the property. They just let them stay there. And then eventually they had to tear it down and it's just sitting there as a little dirt parking lot. And they still trying to sell the property. They still trying to sell the property, if I'm not mistaken, to this day. But you can't determine the price. If it's profitable for you, then take it and invest it and do something else and over and then move into somewhere where it's actually more beneficial. If it's a nuisance, why you stand where they don't want you? And I understand the pride and all of that. When you the last holdout, though, you usually the person that get ran over, to be honest with you.
The final four just to her west will be listed for sale soon.
They did this.
Marcia wanted us to see damage to her fence done during construction of one of the new houses.
They told this completely up.
She also showed us a gutter on the house which touches her fence.
It's touching. You can't, it's touching. He built a house on my fence.
A few weeks ago, she parked her car against the fence to make a point.
I never met Rick, the owner, until I parked my car right there.
Marcia's carport was also banged up by a construction crew, and possibly this window.
He came and pulled the crane. I let him use the crane. He pulled the crane and he tore my carport and don't even want to fix it. Didn't give me one damn.
We were both surprised when the developer, Rick Wells, showed up.
I've apologized for the damage that was done to the fence, but when I was here 2 weeks ago, I agreed to fix the fence. It doesn't make sense to fix the fence until all the construction is completely done, which is something we also agreed
to. So I'm going to get my fence fixed.
Yeah,
and I'm agreeing to no other fence over there, not unless it's a foot apart.
Yeah, see, she's just difficult. See, and this is why I'm so thankful that the developer actually showed up, because, listen, I understand both sides, but at the same time, when she was telling the story, it was completely different than when he come over. He said, listen, I told her that I was going to fix the fence, but it doesn't make sense for me to fix the fence until after the development is done, but she's still parking her car on the fence and tearing up her own car in order to try to justify that she want to make a stand. See, she's just a difficult neighbor. Yeah, she a difficult neighbor. And if they own the property, and he said he realistic. He said, listen, I'm going to fix the fence. I just don't, you know, you agreed and you already know that I said that I'm going to fix the fence. Man, listen, some of these people is capping and they telling a story, but whatever.
We said 12.
This exchange continued for 25 minutes.
So we're going to move your house. It's back 2 feet.
No, they can't.
So how you going to put a fence?
This fence. Once we clear this out, we'll have to go.
How are you going to put another fence over here?
I'm not going to put a fence.
We're going to leave this fence here. Yeah. Okay.
The truth of the matter is, this is very rare. In our historic neighborhoods, few homeowners get the chance to negotiate.
To repair one window and...
How much I'm going to get for that?
We agree to $100.
No, I ain't agreed to no. I'm tired of $100. We agreed to $300.
$200 and you got a deal.
$250.
$200.
$250.
How about $200?
How about $250?
I'm repairing your fence. I'm doing all the landscaping.
I'm helping you. You gonna sell this, baby. I've been here 30 years. You owe me. I don't owe you. You coming new. I've been here 30 years. I done took your abuse all this time, and I'm tired of you. I am sick and tired of you.
As it so happens, when we went to
she's standing her ground now.
The city to check on some things, we discovered the long-standing fence is actually on Rick's property. This land survey shows the majority of Marcia's fence and her concrete path are on that property. But really listen to Marcia, and you'll realize this is about much more than a fence.
So it's really his property. Because, listen, you can't pull building permits and you can't do what you're doing unless they approve it by the city. And so one of the things that they do is they do a land survey, right? And then they go in and they plot and they show you exactly where you can build and where you can't build. And the inspectors, well, how does Anti know this? Because I'm actually building houses myself. I am now a developer, so I can speak to this. Let me give myself a round of applause. So basically, what's really happening is that she has a fence on his property. But he's trying to negotiate with her. This is called capitalism and gentrification. And you don't have options when you don't make money.
You want someone to take you seriously.
I do. I want somebody to just respect me.
Hey, look how her car is parked on the fence, on his property. Hey, look how her car is parked on his fence. Or her fence on his property. She literally parked the car on the fence to make a point. And it's actually on his property. And when they started doing the research, it was more than what it is that she was describing it to be. But I also am sympathetic to the fact that she want to do what she want to do and she don't want to ever leave because she's been there for 30 years. I get it.
Take me serious and just give me a little respect. If you want to use something, man, ask me. Don't take it.
Man, she need to get on up out of there, honestly. She just need to go ahead and get up out of there. She keep playing games. Ain't nobody going to respect you, baby. You playing games with yourself. If you think that you're going to be able to do what you want to do and fight these big developers, it's over. It's 100% over.
In North Nashville, Hannah McDonald, News Channel 5.
So, gentrification is going to happen everywhere. And it's kind of a difficult subject to broach in a lot of instances because you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You don't want places to continue to be the ghetto, but then at the same time, you have to be sympathetic to the people that you're displacing. However, capitalism always wins. So I'm always willing to be on the other side of the fence where I'm going to be successful instead of being a person that's trying to prevent you from doing whatever it is that you want to do to me. That's the lesson that I'll take from this. I am absolutely a capitalist. I'm sympathetic to your situation, but I'm 100% a capitalist.